For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mind Medicine program in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm your host, Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur, here speaking to you from Melbourne, Australia, where it's 5 p.m. on a Saturday. So it's 11 p.m. in LA. It's 2 a.m. Saturday in New York. And on my reckoning, in fact, the time in the United Kingdom is about to change overnight, but right now I reckon it's 6 a.m. UK time. So welcome to this show that is all about how and why mind matters. Ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. Insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we are thrilled to support the mental health charity Mind Medicine Australia through this program. Mind Medicine Australia was founded by Tanya de Jong AM, which is an Australian honour, and Peter Hunt AM. And they founded it 4 years ago. It's Australia's leading not-for-profit organisation working on the use of medicinal psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. Mind Medicine Australia exists to help alleviate the suffering caused by our accelerating mental illness epidemic in Australia and throughout the world by expanding the treatment options available to medical practitioners and their patients. The website is mindmedicineaustralia.org. Unlike current treatments such as antidepressants, which only manage the illness and can have nasty side effects, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies have been scientifically proven to be a safe and effective cure for anxiety, depression, end-of-life stress, addictions, and post-traumatic stress disorder after just a short treatment program. These medicines are also currently being researched for dementia, eating disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and a range of other conditions. Research from over 160 trials indicates that the medicines are safe and non-addictive when administered within a medically controlled environment and lead to remissions in 60 to 80% of patients after just 2 to 3 medicinal sessions in combination with psychotherapy. There have been no adverse events in thousands of patients, everybody. And compare that to the COVID jabs with an extraordinary range of adverse events. So these two medicines are remarkably safe. Both medicines have been granted breakthrough therapy status by the FDA to fast-track their approval. This designation is only given to medicines which may prove to be vastly superior to existing treatments. Mind Medicine Australia is dedicated to helping the rapidly emerging global movement to spread awareness and ensure these medicines are available to those who desperately need them via the medical system. MMA has chapters all over Australia and has a wonderful global webinar series. The great news is that the TGA in Australia has approved these two medicines to be administered and prescribed by psychiatrists from the 1st of July this year. So please let your friends know about this. It is a big, big breakthrough, and it took 4 years of working and convincing the TGA that people need these medicines. Mind Medicine Australia has also commenced the first ever certificate in psychedelic therapies in the Southern Hemisphere. It's one of the world's best psychedelic therapist training programs, and graduates are raving about the program. The recent, well, it's called a pandemic, but I'd say the outrageous responses of government has exacerbated in relation to COVID has exacerbated Australia's mental health epidemic. And these two treatments have the potential to cure millions who are suffering. Please visit the website, mindmedicineaustralia.org, and spread the word. Your family and friends need these solutions to their mental health challenges. We also talk about passion and its impact on your life and your health. And one of the key principles I constantly share for regular listeners is that when you are pursuing your passion, your mental health improves. And there's a clear reason for that, because your mental health comes about from your mind, but passion comes from your soul, your spirit, your heart. For 30 years, I've been teaching about passion. I've written two books on the topic, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance. And your challenge in life is to have the appropriate balance between mental and spiritual elements. And when you are pursuing your passion, what happens is that the fear and the worry that comes from your mind is controlled by the passion that comes from your soul. So if you don't know what you're passionate about, I say to you, your key job is to decide what you're passionate about. And secondly, understand that playing life safe by not pursuing your passion is a lousy way to live life. My guest in this hour is Stephen Horton, a wonderful man who I'm going to introduce to you in a moment. I just want to make a couple of comments on what's happening on the planet. I want you to understand that I am a freedom warrior, and my life consists of five big parts, not just from my family, but in addition to my family, I have five children. But I fight for freedom through five specific ways. Number one, through passion, that you are free to pursue your passion, through being a legal strategist. The law is designed to protect you, protect your rights, to protect you from unreasonable government behavior that would take away your freedom. So as a legal strategist, I don't practice law now. I did for 20 years before I became a passion provocateur, but I'm now a legal strategist, an interface, if you like, between clients and their lawyers, because clients don't understand what lawyers say and lawyers don't understand what clients want. So, but the law is a key element to freedom. And then health. So that's why the Mind Medicine Program and health of all issues is relevant to your freedom. If you're in a hospital bed because you're unhealthy, you can hardly be said to be free. I'm also CEO of Textile and Composite Industries, an industrial hemp company. And hemp is a crop. I'm going to ask Stephen Horton about hemp oil, so I hope he's ready to be talking about hemp seed oil. But hemp as a crop will help farmers be successful, sustainable, profitable, and to maintain their family farms without selling out to big corporations. And family farms are a crucial defense against government overreach. Just imagine if we were all living in the city and all agriculture was done by big corporations, we would be at the mercy of government. And lastly, comedy. You know, comedy is the tip of the spear of free speech. You know, it's pretty risque stuff. And you will recall from your history lessons of years gone by that the king used to have a court jester. And it was only the court jester who was allowed to speak the truth. Because if anybody questioned what the king was doing, that was considered to be treasonous. Comedy, the court jester making fun of truth, is crucial uncovering fraud, uncovering lies, uncovering corruption. So I'm chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy, and we need to support comedians to have free speech. And I share with you each week, as you know, two occupational definitions that tickle my fancy, a bit of humor. One of them is as a consultant. And since I'm a consultant, a great definition of a consultant is a person who takes the watch off your wrist to tell you the time and then charges you for the privilege. And Dilbert also had a good definition of a consultant. He said a consultant is a person who confuses and insults. So there you are. And then my second definition is that of a school teacher. That's also relevant to Stephen. He can tell us why this might be relevant. But a school teacher is a disillusioned woman who used to think she liked children.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, there's some interesting things happening. The front page of the Australian newspaper today had almost a full page article on Amy, a COVID-19 jab victim who died, a very healthy young lady, 24-year-old. And the fact that that's on the front page of The Australian, I think everybody should understand that the government narrative is crumbling. And in the Melbourne Herald Sun, there was a huge article on the desperately bad financial position of the Victorian government. And of course, Daniel Andrews, who is the worst premier in this state's history, he's been out there on a spending spree to rival no others. And the chickens will come home to roost, provided people understand what has caused this. But he's already warning that community funding will stop and services will stop and employees will have to lose their jobs. So the headlines were budget horror for Victorians. And anybody who knows anything about finances, as Stephen Horton does, would know the implications. And lastly, the key issue I want to point out is that the Netherlands election seems to have, the Netherlands farmers pushing back against the Great Reset agenda, as best I can tell, have had some success. And today is the New South Wales election. So those of you who are listening to a recording of this will know what the New South Wales election is, whether the Conservative Liberals, not really conservative, will retain government or whether the left-wing Labor Party will win. And of course, in Australia, it's a Labor Party that's in government. So it's quite interesting. We will soon know that. Although the Liberal Party, I used to be in leadership position with it. It is hopelessly conflicted between what I call teal liberals and real liberals. In other words, much of the Liberal Party has been heading towards the centre and, in fact, left-leaning philosophy. So their commitment to free enterprise is lamentable, in my opinion. And the last thing I want to say is because we're talking about health, is the ongoing work by the World Health Organization that I call the World Holocaust Organization, in their attempts to take sovereignty away from Australia and to be able to declare a pandemic at will. Everybody, please, we must push back against that. All right, Stephen Horton, I have known since 1980, and Stephen has got remarkable insights into financial matters, financial services. But we're going to focus today on health particularly, and it also impacts on mental health. But Stephen has been doing some great work on muffa oils. Stephen, what are muffa oils? And welcome to Mind Medicine Program.
Thank you, Charles. It's I'm passionate about what you're talking about, and yes, monounsaturated oils are the only
antioxidant. Hang on, monounsaturated FA. What's the FA stand for?
MUFA is monounsaturated fatty acids.
So monounsaturated fatty acid oils. That's correct. What you're on about, MUFA oils. Why are you on about MUFA oils?
Well, keep it real simple. They're antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, whereas the opposite side of the fence, which are the oxidant and the inflammatory oils. And the difference between the two is, one, the oxidant and inflammatory oils explode in your body and break down your blood supply and all the vessels in your body, whereas the antioxidants build the strength of your blood and protect you, and hopefully we'll see a lot less pandemics in the world. It's a great way to immunize the body and to reduce the biggest killers in this world, which are the cardiovascular and cancer diseases.
So monounsaturated, what's the opposite? Polyunsaturated
and saturated.
I keep seeing these words, and I'm sure most of our listeners have the same issue because oils, you know, the food that we eat, the chips that we might eat, or we go into KFC, like I love the taste of KFC. I just can't eat it because I get a headache every time.
It's smoked out.
That's correct. So just give us a way to conceptualize monounsaturated, because the message that you're sharing is, and this is right around the world, everybody, this, to understand the oil from which your food comes is crucial. How do we understand these three concepts: monounsaturated, okay, polyunsaturated, and saturated.
Saturated. Let's start with saturated because all three oils have a combination of the three: saturated, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated. So when you have a rich oil in monounsaturated, in other words, over 60% monounsaturated, it becomes a monounsaturated oil. If it's got 40% of the polyunsaturated oils, which are omega-3 and omega-6, keep it simple, then that's called a polyunsaturated oil, like corn oil, soybean, peanut oil, and soy and sunflower oil. They're the three main ones, and then you've got rapeseed, grapeseed, and so on. So the saturated oils come from the trees, which are your coconut oil and your palm oil. And those two oils have been around for centuries, and unfortunately they're made up, again, of saturated fats. And the saturated fats break down into what are called, let's call it oxidants and inflammatories. I could call them LDL cholesterol, and we all see the word cholesterol everywhere, mm-hmm. but we don't really recognize what cholesterol does. And the simplest thing cholesterol does is it explodes in your body. It breaks up your chemistry, breaks up your red blood cells, and it gives you a diabetes and also gives you obesity and then starts to attack your cardiovascular system. And that's why we're all wanting to ban, not just aside from the apes and the environment that palm oil has destroyed, but it does destroy the body.
Okay, everybody, get that. It does destroy your body. I'm with Stephen Horton, an expert in muffa oils. And I really want you to have a play with that muffa oils. You want to be eating food cooked in muffa oils. We're going to come back after this short break. I'm Charles Coves. This is the Mind Medicine Program. And Stephen, we're going to come back and talk about why this word saturated and then trans fats, because that also confuses me. We'll be back after these few messages.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
It looks like Comer and the House Oversight Committee has got the goods on the Biden family. The question now becomes, how long will it be before the media actually acknowledges what Comer and the committee has found? But a lot of folks are probably not going to find out about this for a while. My suspicion is the media will do what the media does, and they will bury a lot of this info. But I would sure love to know why the CCP is wiring millions and millions and millions of dollars to Joe Biden and Biden family members, his brothers, his son, and one member that has yet to been, Comer, he said, we're not going to tell you who that is just yet. I don't know if Vegas is taking odds on this, but I'd be willing to bet that Dr. Jill Biden is up there in the voting. And if it comes down that Jill Biden is getting paid from the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, boy, wouldn't that be something.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Every year, Steve Faircal climbs the stairs of the John Hancock Center in Chicago, 94 floors to the top.
It's called the hustle up the Hancock.
It's hard to believe when you watch Steve today that a few years ago, his lungs were failing and he was fighting to survive.
For 8 hours a day, someone was pounding on my chest to try and keep my lungs clear. I honestly don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received the gift of life, a double lung transplant made possible by an organ donor.
After I got my new lungs, I started doing things that I had never been able to do. I never knew that breathing could feel this good.
Steve climbs to honor his donor and to raise awareness for organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Wouldn't you like that when you left this beautiful planet, that you could save a few lives on your way out? It's an incredible gift.
Imagine what you could make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
The left want to control what people say and think. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Program, a place where we fight for freedom. In this show particularly, and what I do with my whole life of fighting for freedom. Today, of course, if you're listening live, is the 25th of March. And just think about this, there's only 9 months to Christmas. 25th of December. That's a shocking thought, isn't it? So Stephen Horton is my guest, an expert in muffa oils, monounsaturated fatty acid oils. Stephen, Two questions. One, why this use of the word saturated? And secondly, what are trans fats? So we're talking about the impact of oils have a massive impact on your health. So what's the use? Why saturated and what are trans fats?
Okay, you're getting a little bit confused, but let's just talk it simple.
Oh, I love confusion because if you're confused, you're about to learn something.
Well, that's what I'm here for. So saturated fats are found in all three oils, the polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, and saturated. But in saturated fats, for example, coconut, it's 97% of the actual weight of the oil. Whereas in a palm oil, it's around 50% of the weight of the oil. So that's what a saturated fat is. Then you get to polyunsaturated, and the saturated component drops, and the omega-3 and omega-6 grows, which are the polyunsaturated section. And then when you get to the monounsaturated, you get omega-9, which is an oleic acid, and that oleic acid is your antioxidant, and it's the only antioxidant that exists in an oil. But you'll find small portions in all three oils. So let's get now to transfer this. Let's just think about a banana. A banana starts off nice and green and hard, and then as the light gets towards the banana and as the air gets to it and the moisture in the room, that banana changes from dark green, goes to light yellow, yellow, light brown, and then dark brown. And they're the decompositional colors of a banana. Now, every food, it doesn't matter whether it's vegetable, meat, or fish, they all degrade at different speeds into different compounds. In the case of oil, one of those compounds that increases very quickly, and we call it accelerate, is a trans fat. And this trans fat has an unlocking device which gets to your DNA and your other proteins in your body, and it unlocks the resistance to things like cardiovascular disease, cancer, strokes, diabetes, etc., chronic respiratory disease. So what's happened, the WHO, and Steve Horton before WHO, but it doesn't matter, let's keep the WHO.
Well, in this intent, it seems that the WHO might be doing some good work. But anyway, WHO, well, maybe.
I spent quite a few years trying to knock on that door. But anyway, so in 2018, the WHO went to the rest of the world and they said, let's get rid of trans fats. Now, well before 2018, a beautiful person called Michael Bloomberg actually shut down the whole of the city of New York and said, no more smoking, no more trans fats, no more saturated fats, no more polyunsaturated fats. The only oil you can use from now on are monounsaturated. And from 2003 to 2017, this gentleman was able to prove that by cutting out trans fats, the health of the city and the state of New York improved dramatically. And as we know, everywhere around the world now, they've cut smoking out and everybody's reduced the amount of tuberculosis around, and the world is a happier place, a healthier place, and less antagonistic. So the same thing is going to occur now with trans fats. As of June 2023, God willing, we'll be able to switch from all the saturated and polyunsaturated vegetable oils included and the partially hydrogenated oils. They'll all end. And the only oils that we should be using are the canola oils, which is 62%, and extra virgin olive oil, so long as it's compressed and not heated up with solvents, which is what olive oil is about. And then the last oil, which is something that came out of Australia, is the hyalite canola, the hyalite sunflower, or I call them the omega-9 oils. So that's my story, and I'm very passionate to see this switch and changeover by June 23.
So trans fats is the, if you like, I like that. That was an excellent metaphor, Stephen, of understanding what happens to a banana, because we all see that transformation. So a trans fat is fats that have decomposed into things called trans fats. And then if you put those into your body, that impacts on your body in numerous ways. And I think trans fats, you said, impact on health, on heart disease, on cancers. What's the third biggest problem? Diabetes, wasn't it?
Diabetes is obviously keep it simple. Diabetes, cancer, and heart diseases.
Yeah. And so how do you
38 million people die around the world from these, Charles, and more
38
than
million
that,
a year?
Yes. And more than that suffer from it. And you've got to understand, I'm sure every family, one person in three families is having a blood pressure problem. That's cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
So what the world wants to do is to stop this pharma. This is a big pharmacy. It's robbery. It's theft from families and people are running poor simply because their cost of food and pharmacies is so high.
Well, they're running poor because there's the cost of food, but more importantly, because they're getting unwell, then that has a huge impact on the family budget, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. And if you think about it, their health insurance costs are going up because the health insurers are facing every year more than one in three people going into hospital and having some kind of help.
So where do we, and trans fats and saturated fats and polyunsaturated, so how does the normal person, we'll talk about your business in a moment, because one of the questions I'll get to is why you got into this. But I think I know the answer because you've already said it, that your passion is to help people be healthier. And of course, you know, the impact on families and on humanity of people suffering needlessly because people who produce food are allowed to put crap in it, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. And the worst part about it is their margins are so high that they spend a lot of money corrupting your mind, my mind, and everybody else's pockets.
Through marketing or influencing government?
Absolutely.
The latter, influencing government?
Very powerful. You've got no idea how powerful these rich entities are.
Wow.
They're huge. They buy into companies as big as Yum in New York, and they literally threaten those boards to take their palm oil. It's bullying, the best kind you can ever see. It's like the war machines of America. Don't get me there. I'm too passionate about it.
No, well, we're on.
It's a big thing.
This radio station is big on it, and I'm on it because the war machine, I'm presently involved. See, one of the issues that exercises my mind and my activities is the alleged climate emergency, which is total BS.
Let me finish first.
Total BS. I'm telling you now, there's a soil emergency.
Correct.
There's a landscape emergency.
Water.
There's a waste and rubbish emergency.
What about
there's
water?
There's also a dirty water emergency. There is no climate emergency. And it could be that God works in mysterious ways and because of these issues. We could have another conversation on this. However, those three things are big enough emergencies. But to take away energy, Stephen, energy is the foundational difference. Electricity is the foundational difference between rich and poor countries.
Well, monounsaturated oils, if they were allowed to be in everywhere around the world, would cut one-fifth of the land surface that's required, one-fifth of the water, the soil.
Wow.
The energy.
Wow. Hey,
and
that's
the
fantastic.
Energy to transport, and the energy to transport the product. It would unclog the oceans. It would unclog the seaports.
Yes, that's a good question.
It would reduce the amount of transportation of the product.
What happens with all these crappy oils and fats? They all go into the environment, don't they?
Well, the wastage does, but they're now taking the waste oil and they're using it for diesel, and they're taking a lot of oil and they're using it as an additive into aviation fuel and bunker oil for the movement of ships. And okay. Now they're trying to put it in as a fuel for trucks and cars, etc. But that's all going to get phased out fairly quickly because the hydrogen propulsion system is going to replace that.
So you're saying that the big companies, the big consumers of oils are being pushed by the industrial, military, chemical complex to keep using these unhealthy oils rather than healthy oils, correct?
Absolutely. And they're making a lot of money because of it. And, of course, the hospitals are suffering because they don't have enough beds, they don't have enough doctors, and now we don't have enough nurses.
That's correct, and they don't have enough nurses because the smart nurses refuse to be jabbed and they lost their jobs. But that's another conversation that we'll have. We won't go there at the moment. We won't go there at the moment. Now, how do people, on a day-to-day basis, we'll come to the food establishments that use this, because you've established a business. Well, we'll go there now. You've established a business to enable businesses all around the world to get these high oleic oils of canola and sunflower because of your, and this has been tough. You've been doing this for 12 years now. And here you are, Stephen Horton, the warrior, if you like, against.
Correct. The crusader.
The crusader. Against
the lifesaver. The lifesaver.
I like that. The crusader and lifesaver. I'm going to call you that. Stephen Horton, crusader and lifesaver for health. Now,
Of course, this brings prosperity. You've got to understand, Charles, that if you can cut down and eliminate all of the omega-3 and omega-6, the oxidants and the inflammatories, you will actually bring prosperity, not just to the people, but you'll cut the budgets, the health budgets and the food safety budgets of governments by hundreds of billions of dollars. So if all of those billions of dollars were to go back into housing or into the other services that countries are meant to be providing, then you're being a good person. You're absolutely a benefit to the country and to the world. Now, you don't need an AM to get to be
a crusader and lifesaver.
You've got to be a crusader and a lifesaver. And seriously, people have to stop putting themselves with badges and start pounding the pavements like I've been for so long and get the conversions going, because you're profitable.
So what's the response of government to you? So you said you were pounding on the door of the World Health Organization. They wouldn't listen, but now they...
No, they did. Actually, a Hong Kong lady was listening to me, and she became president of the WHO. And the very last thing this lady did was to get the WHO to go ahead and state that they must eliminate trans fats. Thank God.
Well, isn't your mission done? That it's
no,
from the
first of July
that you're not allowed to use these unhealthy oils?
No, my mission now is to make sure that oil gets to everybody.
Yes.
And importantly, you know, Charles, what we got to understand is a government puts these laws into place. Does the government buy for its cafeterias, for its staff, for its army, for its police, for its hospitals, the oil?
No.
Well, this is it. And the whole point, passionately, I say to you, we the people are being conned by Big Pharma, the big oil kings, Wilmer and all sorts of other company names that I can mention, and they are controlling our politicians. And people don't realise that it's the big industries of the world that are manipulating our politicians. And look what's happened with this submarine business here in Australia. And look what's going on in America.
And look what's happened to the COVID response that was driven by Big Pharma.
Well, here we go.
So you're right. So we're TNT Radio, Stephen, this is the place for you, for your voice, because that's precisely, we are free to say that our politicians right around the world, but particularly in Australia, because, well, and in America, they are absolutely influenced by big business.
There's not one journalist can deny that. And there's not one investigative journalist that can deny that. And there's a difference between a journalist and an investigative journalist. Do you know that?
One copies somebody else's work, the other
one creates it.
Yes. Have you talking about investigative journalist? I've just got on, well, I've heard of him, but I'm on his Substack, Seymour Hersh. I don't know if you've heard of, he's done some wonderful investigative journalism, and he's the one who has uncovered and has gone totally public that it was Joe Biden who blew up Nord Stream 2, the Russian gas supplies into Germany.
Norway. Yes.
Well, it's called the Nord Stream, but the pipeline is from sending Russian gas to Germany. So Seymour Hersh, everybody, check it out. We'll go to a break now, Stephen. Well, this is I love it. I love your passion as a crusader, lifesaver for healthy oils, everybody. I'm Charles Kovesh. You're on the Mind Medicine Program. Stephen Horton is my guest. You're
enjoy.
On
TN. Just remember, enjoy.
Enjoy. ENJOY. Enjoy is the company name, but. We're on TNT Radio, the place of free speech, and we'll be back after these messages.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
Tornadoes in Los Angeles? How can this be happening? Well, it actually has happened before, but we've had tornadoes in California. California is not immune to such things, especially when there's so much cold air in the mid and upper levels of the atmosphere, it can produce something like that. But of course, everybody's saying this is a sign of climate change. Everything is a sign of climate change. We have a tremendous geomagnetic storm going on today. This is raising eyebrows all over the place. Now, let me tell you a little story. In 1976, I was in physics of the upper atmosphere class, and there's a big geomagnetic storm going on, right? And we had this aurora borealis. I think I told this stupid joke yesterday, so I'm not going to tell it again. And if I didn't tell it to you yesterday, you're not going to want to hear it anyway today. But we had a tremendous aurora borealis going off with the geomagnetic storm. So that has happened before. There's a whole bunch of things that keep happening that apparently the media doesn't think has happened before, but they have. So calm down. The atmospheric apocalypse is not yet upon us. If it is, well, I'm going to be the guy that tried to forecast it. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
According to the Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute, CRERI, 2020 election funding from Mark Zuckerberg's favored nonprofits, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR, had nothing to do with traditional campaign finance. It had to do with financing the infiltration of election offices at the city and county level by left-wing activists and using those offices as a platform to implement preferred administrative practices, voting methods, and data sharing agreements, as well as to launch intensive outreach campaigns in areas heavy with Democratic voters. In Wisconsin, an investigation uncovered that a left-wing activist connected to CTCL gained access to ballot rooms in Green Bay and helped determine how to handle ballots. CTCL agents in Georgia paid ballot counters and trained poll watchers. In Philadelphia, CTCL pushed the city to deploy ballot drop boxes, allowed for ballot curing unavailable to Republican counties, and even paid election judges, according to the Amistad Project.
This is all evidence that the Biden economic plan is actually working.
No.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Program. I'm Charles Kovesh, your host, Australasia's passion provocateur. My Guest this hour is Steve, or this week, because I'm now weekly, everybody, rather than fortnightly, rather than 2 hours every fortnight, 1 hour every week, which I'm delighted to do. And Stephen Horton, a crusader lifesaver for better health through healthy oils. Before we get back to Stephen, I want to make a couple of comments on some people I had meetings with during the week. But firstly, in the Australian newspaper yesterday, in Australia, there's a referendum being proposed by the Labor government, the Albanese Labor government, for a voice for Aboriginals in this, in the Constitution. And I say that our High Court and most of our courts have been politicized and indeed corrupted. And two retired High Court judges came out yesterday, they were published, saying that it's good that the proposed constitutional change should be vague and that Australians should, quote, trust the government to do the right thing with these vague words. Now, get this. Ken Hayne and Robert French, both retired High Court judges, are exhorting Australians to trust the government. Now, Stephen Horton, this is BS of the highest order, and I say, everybody, reject this nonsense. Secondly, in terms of doing the right thing, I had a meeting, I moderated a meeting with Pastor, a Christian minister, pastor, not a pastee, Stephen, Pastor Mike McClure in California, who has incurred $4 million in fines from Californian government for refusing to lock down his church. He said, no, I'm here for my flock. And I say, and he's got evidence, and I've known this to be the case, that churches around the world were paid money by government to stay shut, to destroy their communities, including the Jewish community here in Melbourne, Stephen. And so I was delighted to meet Mike McClure. He is a man of courage, of principle, and I call on Christian leaders everywhere to never again observe a lockdown provision and to shut their communities off from the most important spiritual resource they needed, which is community, which is spiritual nourishment. And I say it's a disgrace that religious leaders took the money and stayed shut. Now, Stephen, do you think we should trust the government like these two retired High Court judges tell us to?
Well, very interesting. First of all, why can't the Greeks have a voice? Why can't the Italians have a voice? Why can't the Yugoslavs have a voice? Why can't
the Hungarians have a voice?
The Hungarians, of course.
Why can't the Jews have a voice? Why can't the, you know?
Exactly. So I think that we've gone overboard with the voice, and I'm not sure how it actually came to being. But I do remember one of our senators, and she's of Aboriginal heritage, has a beautiful lady, very intelligent lady, said on, I think, TV.
Jacinta Price. And I can't remember her middle name, something Price, yep.
And she came out quite clearly and said, why do you want to make such a big deal about us? We are here already. We are in the system. We are spread throughout the land. We are like every other community, and we should not be made any different. And that's true. I mean, why lock them in or lock them out?
Well, with your Jewish background, this categorization of people takes us back to the Holocaust in the 30s. What were happening, not the Holocaust, but what Germany was doing to the Jews in the mid-30s.
Well,
let's categorize people. Outrageous.
Very much.
Now, anyway, so coming, how do people make these, how do we inform ourselves in terms of decisions that, so two things. One, we need whistleblowers from government. So I love your idea of people working in government coming out and speaking up about the government not buying these healthy oils in all of their facilities, all of their community facilities. That's number one, correct?
Absolutely.
And government controls.
I don't know whether the government employees have to do it, but because you've got to be very careful here. When you're working in a government instrumentality, I'm not sure just how much you can say and how much you can't say. But it doesn't have to be a government employee. There are contractors coming in to run those cafeterias, and there are all sorts of guests. So it's not hard to smell a trans fat.
How do you smell? That's a good point. When you walk into a restaurant, how can you tell if they're using good oil versus unhealthy oil?
Well, an unhealthy oil, you can smell it from a long, long way away.
Very good.
I was just in Singapore 3 or 4 days ago, and they're using what's called palmoline. And that palmoline oil is so pungent that people where they were sitting was all up downwind, so away from the smoke and the whatever, and you could see how they were sitting. No one was anywhere near where the food court was shut off. They were all on the extremities, and obviously upwind, not downwind.
Yeah,
because downwind of the gases come in and choke them. And it was really incredible. The food that they were cooking went cold within minutes. It was just not worthwhile tasting. And a lot of it was starchy, very creamy, and you couldn't taste the vegetables. You couldn't taste the meat. It was disgusting. And I just can't believe people can suffer this, because if you have a monounsaturated or oleic acid, omega-9 oil, you're actually tasting the food. It's yummier. It's drier. It's not dry as in dry out, but you cannot taste the oil. You can actually taste the juices.
So that's the point with healthy oils. You can't taste the oil.
Correct. You can't taste it. You can't see it shining. You can't smell it. You can't smell it. You can't feel it. It's a sensational thing, because a good chef can then add their seasoning, whatever it may be, just a touch of salt or a touch of pepper or a touch of chili, whatever they like. They don't have to smother the damn thing.
Ah, very good. That's a good point.
You know,
now so
they don't have to spend as much money.
Well, hang on. That was the other question that I had. Is it more expensive for these restaurants? By the way, I just got a note on a tweet. I saw a tweet today that some terrific restaurants in Australia are shutting down, allegedly, you know, because of cost of living. People haven't got discretionary money. That's one issue. But, of course, 60% of Australians don't have debt. So there's a whole bit of BS going on about that. But
be careful there.
But you know, that's right. Talking about numbers all the time is quite complicated. But let's get to this question. Can restaurants afford, can fast food outlets afford to have these healthy oils?
Absolutely. In fact, the affordability means cost. And
yes,
the actual cost of monounsaturated oil is 70 to 80% below the cost of using
this crappy
palmoline
stuff.
Yeah, the crap. The current oils, I should be careful in what I say, but the unhealthy
oil. Well, they're unhealthy oil. Yeah, they're
well, the problem is, Charles, the culture of a kitchen person or a restaurant owner is price. They haven't been taught that price is a component of cost. So cost equals price times the volume used. It's the same thing as you driving a car. If you get a car and you put a good petrol into the car, a good petrol will go further than a bad petrol. It's the same thing with a battery. You buy a good battery, it lasts longer, you make more money.
That's
it's
right.
It's more valuable.
Well, what about you were a chef, I believe.
I was.
What about good knives versus cheap knives?
Well, a good knife cuts faster and it's safer, and obviously, you're going to taste the food, the texture, and the grain a lot nicer. It's going to be much, much nicer. And who wants that? So
these oils, are you saying that whilst the price might be higher than the crap oils, the cost is less? How does that work?
Well, a good oil, as in a monounsaturated oil, which is an antioxidant, has what's called an antioxidant measurement, which is 3 to 4 or 5 times longer So it resists the oxidation process. So it works longer in the fryer or in the saucepan or in a cooker. So the whole idea is if you can have an oil working for 5 or 6 or 10 days, I can get 30 days in some peanut wow. operations.
Yeah.
And you never taste the oil on the food, on the nuts. It's perfect.
That's a beautiful. So for a restaurant, for a restaurateur, for any business, it is the cost is, what did you say, 70% less?
Yeah. Well, wow. I'll give you a terrific number. If you own a franchise and you're frying chicken and you have 4 fryers, one for chips, one for chicken wings, one for chicken legs, one for whole chickens or whatever it's going to be, combination of 4 fryers, 4 times 3 is 120 litres. That 120 litres can last for a week or 10 days.
Yep.
Now, if you've got 400 outlets, most owners, franchise owners have got more, but let's say 400. I want to do 400 because I can give you a number.
Yep.
I can save you $18 million a year. And I haven't increased the number of people coming to buy the oil yet, buy the food yet. So wow. I've saved 18 million.
Yeah.
And I've gone now and I can increase the sales by another 10 or 20%, which gives me margins, profitable margins, way beyond.
Stephen, that is so compelling. It seems to me that there's an agenda going on behind all this, because your logic and reason on healthier oils, more profit. But so who is making money out of unhealthy people?
Yeah, the growers. Unfortunately, the growers are the palm oil owners and the refineries thereof, and obviously the repackers that are cheating everybody, because there's so much fake oil around. And they're blending it and they're mixing it and they're doing all sorts of things. And secretly, very, very secretly, they're now cheating everybody by partially hydrogenating the oil in order to get to the oil standard of 2% trans fats. It's come down from 5. Right now in June 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to have not 5% trans fats, we have to have 2% trans fats. So how the hell are these oil guys going to make it happen, including the refiners that so-called think that palm oil and the different palm oils are right? I'm saying these people, in order to get trans fat levels of less than 2%, and they're declaring 1% on some of the tins I've seen, they must be doing something to the oil, whatever the hell it is.
We're being defrauded now. That
absolutely.
Is
and that label, that number is only good for the day it was tested, Charles.
Wow. Yes.
Because remember the banana?
Yes.
Changes. So oh, wow. Okay. Don't yeah. trust the label.
And I heard some stories that in poorer sections of Asia, that oil that is tossed out by one restaurant is then used by street vendors. Was it well, you that told me that?
That used to happen. Yes, I did. Gutter oil was a big problem. 2016, that all changed. The government has now licensed companies, specific companies, to go and collect that oil.
Okay.
And they're the only ones who can collect it. We've had it here in Australia for some time, and there's some very honourable companies doing that. There's one or two naughty boys that are re-refining it in Australia, and you can smell it.
Okay, that's very good, the smell. And so you're saying the trans fat level goes up as the oil is used. So it's 1% perhaps when it's tested, but after 3 days of use, 4 days of use, what sort of percentage trans fats can it become?
Well, if you're talking about palmoline, or you're talking about soybean oil or peanut oil, it's less than a day when it reaches something like 14 on the total polar compound testing apparatus, and that's probably 5%. 5% yeah. would be at the end of the day. I'm talking about in a KFC store or a McDonald's store. Well, a McDonald's might be a bit better because they're not doing chicken as.
That's correct. Yes, a bit less. Yeah. We've only got a minute left, Stephen. Do you think customers should go into these stores and start? Why can't we as customers say, "What? Tell me what sort of oil you're using, and if you're not using the right one, walk out."
I'd love them to do it.
There you are.
And of course, if you go into KFC and McDonald's and ask them what the oil is, they don't know.
Yeah. Stephen Horton, I love your crusade and life-saving actions to make us healthier, to raise our awareness of these oils. Everybody, please take a big interest in that.
Be passionate about
healthy oils, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Mind Medicine Program. And by the way, of course, if you are unhealthy because of too many trans fats, you won't be very happy mentally. So that's another issue.
Well,
thank you for being with us
tablet,
on the show. Gotta go. I'm Charles Coves. Thanks for being on the Mind Medicine Program on TNT Radio, your place for truth, for free speech. Tell your friends to come to TNT Radio and share the message from this station. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Bye.